Thanks so much for joining us again this morning for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, Counseling Pastor, Senior Citizens Pastor at Brookside. It's always a joy to have you join us. We'd love to have you join us for one of our services, either Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. If you're not a regular attender of a church somewhere else, love to have you just slip in and give us an opportunity to meet you personally and say thank you so much for being a part of our radio audience. If you have that opportunity, please take advantage of it. We'd love to meet you. We've been talking the last number of times about the hardest times of our lives and what it is we learn about God, what do we learn about others, and what we learn about ourselves. Learning about God, for me, came from studying the names of God. When I was going through the hardest time of my life, to learn that indeed God was El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, whatever I needed, that's God. He was God Elroy, Jehovah Elroy, the strong one who sees and cares. Today we want to talk about his name of El Elyon. We find that mentioned in Genesis chapter 14. Abram had rescued Lot and his family. He comes out to meet Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. That's the name El Elyon. It means the strongest, strong one. And as he meets Melchizedek, Melchizedek blesses him. It says in verse 18 of Genesis 14, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from thee a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I may not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Abram basically began to understand that God is the Most High God. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. Wow, what an awesome concept. You see, the culture of every one of these kings and every one of these cities that had attacked Sodom and carried Lot and his family away captive, they all had their own deities. They were all localized gods. They weren't viewed as being infinite or all-powerful, but they believed if their armies won battles against other people, then it was their gods that were stronger than the gods of their enemies. And so the statues of the defeated gods were taken from the temples to the temple of the victorious god. And they were put at their feet. Basically, it was a picture of na-na-na-na-na, my God is stronger than your God. And so they would take the statues of the defeated gods into their temples. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 31 when King Saul was killed and they took Saul and nailed his body to the wall of their God. It says in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 31, And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth. They fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. In other words, they used it as a picture that the God of Israel is weaker than the God of the Philistines. We also see the same thing in Judges chapter 16 and verse 21. When the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. This is Samson. And it says that his hair began to grow again after it was shaven, and the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Do you see that? Our God is stronger than your God. And so it says that they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And so that was the concept, that if you were defeated by another city or another country, then their gods were stronger than yours. So the people who were assimilated into the victorious peoples were told to worship the stronger gods. So here we have five cities. All of them had kings, and they had come and defeated the cities in which Lot and his family lived, Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abram then went and defeated those five kings. And so we have these five armies who were all defeated by Abram. So therefore, his God is considered to be the strongest, strong one. Now, honestly, that was news to Abram. He thought, wow, really? And here's Melchizedek, who identifies the strongest strong one, El Elyon, as the possessor of heaven and earth. He gives him new confidence. And because of that, the Bible says that Abram paid tithes of everything he had gotten in the battle. Basically, if God owns it all, then I need to return a portion of all that I receive as a testimony of his total ownership. See, El Elyon is mentioned three times in the Pentateuch. First of all, in Numbers chapter 24, verses 10 to 19, the Bible tells us that he was mentioned as the Most High when Balaam was being discussed. And he said, when he heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance but having his eyes open, he called him the Most High. Now, Balaam is paid to curse Israel over a boundary dispute. But God, El Elyon, who possesses heaven and earth, knows no boundaries. Again, the context is God's people facing their enemies and God giving them comfort. He's basically saying, I am El Elyon. I am the Most High. Then we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 and 9. And it says, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. You notice how he was described? The Most High. And then it reminds me of the passage in Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. And Paul is speaking, and he's preaching the gospel, and then out comes a woman that has a spirit of divination, basically a demon. And this demon within this woman says, these men are the servants of the Most High God. That's El Elyon again, the strongest strong one. Now the context is God's people going into Europe, spreading the mission into Europe. And El Elyon will break the power of Satan and give great victories. You see, anytime you and I start a new mission, a new project for the cause of Christ, we need to remember he is El Elyon. He's the strongest strong one. My precious friend, he always has been. It reminds me of Mark chapter 5. And we see that when Jesus was going over to the country of the Gadarenes, it says that he met a man that was dwelling in the tombs and nobody could bind him. They wrapped chains around him and he would break the chains asunder because of the demons within him. And all night and all day he would be crying and cutting himself with stones. See, because demons are out to destroy you, not to help you. He was cutting himself with stones. So when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? There's El Elyon. He is the strongest strong one. And again, El Elyon breaks the power of Satan and attacks his kingdom. And of course, you have the 144 demons that are cast out of this man, and the Bible says that he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind in Mark 5:15. So the power of God is able to break Satan's power. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, we see the same truth, and it says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See, Satan's greatest desire is to defeat God. And therefore, El Elyon, the strongest strong one, defeats his efforts. The spirit world that rebelled with him and all the world of men that may rebel against him as well. He is El Elyon. He's the strongest strong one. And then we are reminded in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 37, Thou, O King, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. The God of heaven, that is El Elyon, the strongest strong one. And here we hear Daniel giving an interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, the God of heaven has given you this kingdom. See, he's El Elyon. He's the strongest strong one. Basically, he was showing Nebuchadnezzar that his power comes from God and not himself. See, in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a great tree that reached up to heaven and covered the earth took place in verse 11. But God's judgment was on him for his pride in verses 12 to 16. In other words, Daniel is saying to him, El Elyon is still in charge. He's still in charge. And then you remember in Daniel chapter 5 when the handwriting on the wall took place? The handwriting on the wall? And King Darius thought he was the strong king, and he could bring in the golden vessels from the temple and drink his wine from them. But in Daniel 5:18, he was introduced to the strongest strong one whom he had offended by his pride. Basically, his attitude was, I'm more powerful than the God of the Jews. I can do what I want to do. And a message from that God appears on the wall. Oh, yeah? So in Genesis 14, Abram learns for the first time of his God being the strongest strong one, El Elyon, who can defeat all of your foes. And my precious friend, that is the same God you have. He can defeat all your foes. Now, does this alter your thinking about maybe your financial circumstances or your enemies or Satan's power or whatever it is? You need to make God your strongest strong one. And to do that, Hebrews 7, verses 1 to 3 tells me that I have to trust His Son, Jesus Christ, that I have to be willing to say, Lord, You are truly in control of my life. And when you do so, He becomes El Elyon, regardless of what you're facing. He will always win the battle. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.